All right, so me and Brother Purgos are talking. We did one audio on peace. Now we're going to talk about joy. And we're just going to share scripture verses. And we're trying to encourage each other and the brothers that will hear this and anybody that will hear us on our websites how to find the peace and the joy of Christ. If you know about us, obviously, it's all rooted in the gospel, what Christ did for us, his death, burial, and resurrection, overcoming for us, rising again, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of sin. He defeated death. That's where our peace and our joy is going to come from. And then we apply that to our lives by repentance, coming out of the world in all false ways. And we cry out to God for the newness of life, the spirit. We're born from above. And that spirit helps us to walk in holiness and obedience. And we endure every day in the peace, in the joy, in the truth, in the ways of God. So we talked about peace. Let's talk about joy, brother. How about a scripture verse on joy, and then let's talk about it.
Well, let's go to Deuteronomy 28:47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things.
Yeah. They did not serve the Lord with joyfulness. Would you say that's sin?
That is. And we have better promises under a new covenant. While in the Old Testament, there were many material and physical things, our rewards are more now spiritual, of an inward showing, not a land flowing with milk and honey, but an anchor behind the veil.
Yeah. And as Hebrew says, we have no eternal city now, but we're looking for one to come. That's our new heaven, our new earth, our new Jerusalem that's going to come down. That's with Christ as our son, S-O-N. That's what we're looking for. Amen?
Amen.
So I think about this verse. I'm always marveling at the Israelites. They were in Egypt slaves, but they got leeks and onions. They go in the desert. God frees them, and he's giving them food and water, but they like the food better in Egypt. And they said, we should go back to Egypt. At least we can eat good. I'm always amazed at that. But is it really any different than what people do today in Christ? Now we have Christ risen. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And as Christians, can't we do the same grumbling? And is it not magnified now that it's like we're grumbling in the face of Christ's blood? They were grumbling in the face of God doing some miracles to free them. It's pretty awesome. But that Passover that happened is an archetype of Christ. We're doing it today if we do it in the face of Christ's blood. Isn't that more like Peter talks about a sore punishment will come because of that?
Oh, yes. Better covenant, better promises. I mean, if the word spoken by angels was unalterable and every transgression received a just punishment, if we trample our pure sacrifice.
Amen. Amen, brother. I'm looking for a verse on joy. I think I might go right into Psalms. I'm going to do Job. Job 8:19. I love Job. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. So there's a joy in the way of the Lord, isn't there?
There is.
And it's built on, like we learned at Pete with peace, it's built on eternal things. It's a joy that isn't affected by your surroundings. And in the New Testament, we're really going to see it. That's kind of where I want to go and focus, because it's not a joy that the world knows. It's not even a joy that the religious churchianity system knows. Joy is this. Well, we'll get there. It's a deep inner thing that God does via the Holy Spirit that we need to seek for. We need to dwell in. Think about that. Where did they have a temple that God's Spirit dwelt, and then they went and they dwelt either in it or near it, right?
You're talking of Solomon?
Yeah, they wanted to be close to the to God himself. Well, we have the Holy Spirit in us today if we're the temple, if we're born again. But guess what? We don't have to seek to dwell where God is. God's within us. But guess what? We have to dwell in the things that he's given us. And wouldn't that be dwell in peace and joy?
It is.
Yeah.
We have to dwell in his ways.
Amen.
God continually wants us to mirror him.
Yes. Yes. Your turn, brother. Scripture on joy.
Sounds almost like it. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Yeah, I like that. So in his presence. So back then they didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. So if we have the Holy Spirit today, the presence of God that is via the Holy Spirit. It's not the literal presence of God where, like, when we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we're right with him. But what God gives us today, I'm cautious about that term, presence of God, because everybody's always seeking something beyond what the Holy Spirit gives you. I got to have the presence of God. No, we can't have that right now. We have the Holy Spirit in us. That's our earnest, a down payment of what's yet to come. But if we have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the opportunity to dwell and seek and live in peace and in joy. Do we not? If we just receive it, if we believe it, if we trust in it, and we walk in it, right?
Mm-hmm. That sounds like you're saying I have to have faith and works to receive something.
Amen.
That gospel always seems to pop up no matter where we go.
No matter what you do, because it's a foundation of God. God says, I will do this. You must do this. I've done this. Will you do this? You do that, and I will do this. It's action and reaction over and over and over. God, that's part of his character and nature. I'm amazed when you hear people talk about the unconditional love of God. The unconditional ways of God, you can't even find the concept of that anywhere, that God is unconditional. He's always been a covenantal God, and you might as well say he's always been a...
He's always been a covenantal God.
Yeah, a conditional God, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Don't forget to speak up on your phone, brother, because I'm doing the audio.
Oh, yes.
He's always been a conditional God. It's kind of like saying, yeah, the laws in my town are unconditional. And you go, what? Yeah, I don't have to keep any of my laws. They're there, but we don't have to keep them. It's like, yeah, try that out. Go try to take money out of the bank that isn't yours. I want to see that happen. Go 100 miles an hour through a speed zone when a cop's there. I want to see that happen. Conditional. God's always been a God of conditions. And peace and joy is a condition that we can have. But how do we access it, brother?
By obedience, by seeking it, by trusting, by walking in his will and his ways.
Amen. Amen. And we do all that by keeping our eyes on Christ. And we do our very best to dwell in his ways. Yep, we're going to fall short. We're not perfect, meaning we never sin. But when we do fall short, this is a big key. So you're having a good day. You got the peace of the Lord. You got the joy of the Lord. Everything's going good. Oh, bad thought. Looked at something I should have, or it got in front of me. Bad thought takes me back to something in the past. All right? If you focus on that, and you allow your flesh and Satan to go, yeah, look at that. You thought about that. You think you're holy. You think you're godly. You think you're going to go be with a thrice holy God. Look what you just thought about. That's not conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's condemnation from the enemy and maybe your own flesh saying you're worthless. Yeah, on your own, you are worthless. So am I. But then the Spirit will rise up and give you the peace and the joy and say, no, no, no. You're a child of God. We know I know that you will falter sometimes. I am your strength. I can cleanse you. I can pick you up. I can make you new. I told your brothers to forgive you 7 times 70. I'll forgive even more than that. If you keep trying, if you keep striving, if you keep repenting, if you keep putting it away, if you keep looking away, if you keep looking to me, looking away from sin and looking to him. So that's, hey, here's one, brother. We're talking about peace and joy. Should we not get peace and joy knowing we have a Heavenly Father and a Savior that has a well of forgiveness that is unending, and that if we keep trying, our Father will never give up on us? Boy, if that don't bring you peace and joy, you got to check your peace and joy meter. He will never give up on us if we keep trying and looking to him. Isn't that awesome?
That is. I take no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, brother? Here's something else you got to remember. Ready? You don't deserve it. Neither do I. Neither does Sister Amma. Neither do all of our brothers and sisters we know. None of us deserve it. We got to stop thinking, oh, I don't deserve this. Woe is me. Yeah, get over it. Of course we don't deserve it. That's why Christ had to come. Because he is the deserving one. He's the perfect one. He's the focus of our joy and peace and our faith. He's the author of it. So anytime you want to look at your life book, right? We got a book of life that our names are written in. Anytime you want to look at your life book, you got two choices. You can look at your life author. Who's the life author of your sinful book? That would be
Satan.
Yeah, that would be, well,
the father of lies that you were following before Christ.
Yeah, it would be Satan, and then also we worked with him for a long time, didn't we? We're like co-authors with him, right?
Oh, yes, I'm not trying to deny or dissuade my sin from my own credit and my account. I have free will.
So our life book is written by Satan and us. We're like co-authors with him because our will was bent towards him and his kingdom before Christ, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Today, if you want a new book, a better book, an eternal book, who's the author, brother?
Christ.
Yeah.
And us.
Yeah. He's the author and finisher of our faith, and now we work in co-unison, co-covenant with him. And so we got to pull ourselves out of that old authorship of our worldly life, and we got to walk in the joy and the peace and let Christ be the author of our life. And we're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We won't be removed if we strive, if we repent, if our light, or if our eyes are always focused towards his light, and that's that peace and that joy that we seek in him, and it only comes through him and in him. So that's an awesome thing. Let me go to the New Testament. Luke 1:14, talking about the birth. And the joy shall, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. This is the word I want to focus on because we're in the new covenant. Kara. That word kara, it means gladness, fullness, joy. It's a calm. And it flies in the face of what we see in the culture. Let's see, yesterday was Sunday. All the worldly people are watching football, cheering for their team. Oh, I got great joy. My team won. Is that the kind of joy we're talking about, brother?
No. That's all temporal and based upon worldly sinful lusts and desires.
Yeah.
That joy that you're talking about.
Yeah. Or, hey, I got a big promotion. I'm going to make 10 grand more a year. Nothing wrong with getting a promotion if it's good, pure, and true. But is that the kind of joy we're talking about?
No. Those are all temporal things you're talking about.
Yeah. Thank you,
honey.
Well,
we can have temporal victory over sin and removing sin more and more as we move through, never willfully keeping it.
Amen. Amen.
That will definitely help.
And our eyes are on Christ. It's not on us. It's not on our past. It's not on our abilities. Because every ability we have that's eternal, it's from Christ. Now, all of our old temporal abilities, hey, I can fix a car. That's good, practical in life, if it's not sinful. I can work on computers. That's good if it's not sinful. But a lot of what we did, we used it for a lot of our abilities, we always turn towards sin, don't we?
Yes.
So we want to look to the abilities that Christ gives us that are eternal. That's loving Him. We talked about it in our peace audio. Love God, the first command, Matthew 22. Love your neighbor, which would be your brother, and two as the second. We look at all those abilities to love people and God eternally. And that's what we're seeking. That's what He rises up in us. So that word kara or kara, which one is it, Sister Emma?
I think however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah, I think I always pronounce it differently each way. I'm not sure what the Greek word is, but it doesn't really matter. It's that inner calm. We were talking about it last night with a brother because that's Brother Zealous's wife's name is Kara or Kara. We were talking about it with him. Inner calm, peace, the joy of the Lord. We got to seek it from Him. And just like peace, it's something that we don't just get once. It's something, how about this, brother? Does it have to be maintained?
Yes, I'm pretty sure it says in Proverbs that we are to go away from those who are subject to change.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Your turn, brother. Maybe let's go in the New Testament now.
Definitely. New Testament for joy. Ooh. John. This sort of looks like a John 16:21. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world.
Yeah.
Joy. That's the same word, chara, there.
Yep, everywhere. Everywhere I found in the New Testament, that same word, it means that inner calm. So she has all this labor and travail and birth. It's a very, very traumatic thing for a woman to give birth, but then it's all washed away because she sees her beautiful baby. So what's the analogy of that for us? Us men are never going to have a baby, but what's the analogy for us?
I was going to go with the very simple, this is born again. You forget all the struggles and all the things you did to petition and plead with the Father to be born again. And then when you're born again, it's like, it's almost like you could have had me suffer for years before you granted me that privilege and that relief.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a question. Do we as Christians have a lot of struggles and trials in this world? That's not just a piece of cake walk, is it? Do we have a lot of trial and tribulation? Didn't Jesus tell us in this life you will have much tribulation?
Yes, He did. And it's also in Acts 14:22. Yeah, I mean, the trials and tribulations sort of help you see you're on the road once in a while.
Yeah. So I have a question. All these trials and tribulations you and I and the brothers and sisters go through, they might seem big now, bigger. Do you think they're all going to fade away when we see Christ? When we're with Him at the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we're in eternity, what do you think these earthly trials and tribulations we went through, do you think they're all just going to fade away and they're gone?
Light and momentary affliction.
Yeah.
That'll be what they'll seem like.
Yeah.
It'll probably seem like a bad dream.
Yep. And they'll be gone. No more tears, no more sorrow. No more pain. You realize that you're striving to enter the kingdom of God eternally one day where everything you struggle with today is going to be washed away, brother. He's taken it all away. No tears, no pain, no suffering. And that's part of our reward. We don't earn it. We're not worthy of it. We strive to be worthy. We can't work our way for it, but that's part of our reward for keeping our eyes on Christ. He gives us eternal life. And then it's that promise, the Holy Spirit, earnest down payment of it. And then He's going to give us, as we walk through it, the peace and the joy. I wanted to read this one. John 15:11. These things I have spoken unto you. So the word of God, He spoke to us, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I love that. Think about your joy being full. That's a promise from Christ. Do you believe that promise?
It's his word.
Amen.
He's the truth.
So,
he's the word.
So what happens if you say, my joy is not full? Is it his fault or is it your fault or my fault?
It's my fault.
Yeah. And so what do we do to remedy that? Oh, Lord, you didn't keep your promise. I'm not joyful. I'm not full of peace. No, we don't believe that. If we believe that, brother, let's throw our Bibles away. Let's go drink and party and have a good life and eat, drink, and be merry, because death's coming and there is no hope, because the Bible ain't true. The Word of God ain't true. Christ is a liar. He can't be our Redeemer. We're hopeless, as Paul said. You don't believe this, you're among... If there's no resurrection, we are hopeless. But we do believe it. We do believe God's Word. So when we're lacking, it's our problem, isn't it? We're the weak link in this covenant, right?
Yes, we are. There's one solution to all problems. Repent. Change.
Amen. And who gives us the ability to do that?
The Lord grants repentance.
Amen. And he gives us his Spirit. He gives us his Word. He gives us his brethren. He gives us his joy. He gives us his peace. And we are at fault when we don't have that. Because you know why? Guess what? You can face all of that and walk in it. Even when darkness is around you, you can keep facing that light. All of that is light. Christ is light. The Word is light. The Spirit's light. If you got godly brothers and sisters, they're light. Guess what we sometimes do, brother? What do we do? That's our own demise.
I think Paul wrote about the Jews, that they counted themselves unworthy of it. So you could either feel that, no, God, you're wrong, I'm not worthy of this joy, or you could be doing something sinful to block that joy.
Yep.
Which, saying to God you have a higher moral standard than him is also sinful. So
yeah.
I guess it could all be predicated on sin.
Yeah. Amen. There's a whole bunch of things we can do. Ready? Not forgive ourselves. Wow. Talk about the ultimate idolatry. I'm so wicked. How could God ever forgive me? I can't forgive myself. I'm so wicked. Wait a minute. Christ sent himself. God sent himself and shed his blood. And he says, child, I'll forgive you. And you're saying you can't forgive yourself? That is like the ultimate arrogance and pride, is it not?
It is.
So we can be unforgiving. How about this? All of those things I told you are light. What if we turn away from those things and face and walk towards the darkness? How are those things going to help us if we're walking towards the darkness?
They can't.
Yeah.
You have to draw near to God, so
yeah,
he'll draw near to you. If you're walking away from God, he can't help you at all.
Yeah. And how do you draw near to God? Doing all those things we're talking about. Asking him for peace and joy, seeking the brotherhood, not turning away, walking in the ways of God, not the world, not focusing on my past and what I used to have that's all temporal and worthless. It's all dung compared to Christ. If we believe that our past, our careers, our hobbies, whatever we did before Christ is all dung, unless you carry a bag of animal manure around with you and think this is the best thing around, we're a bunch of hypocrites. Because Paul said it's all dung. So anytime you want to go back to your old life, or I want to go back to my old life, we should go to the park. We should find a bunch of animal feces. We should put it in a bag and carry it around with us. Because that's exactly what we're doing, is it not?
It is.
We're going back to the dung, and we're carrying it around with us. What do we do with dung? You get rid of it. You bury it. You throw it away. Who in the world carries dung around? Nobody. Unless you're a manure truck. And even him, he's looking to take it somewhere and dump it. He don't want to keep it there. And so these are the practical things we can do to have the peace and the joy, is to, even when times are hard in the flesh and in our minds, some of us are strong-minded at times, some of us are weak-minded at times. Everybody can be that. The Bible talks about feeble-minded, faint of heart. We can all be that at times. But we have to find a way to not turn away from the things of God, not turn away from what he's given us. So he gives us these things. And here's it. Here's what it is. Ready? So he said, in this life, John 16:33, you shall have much tribulation. Rejoice. I've overcome the world. Everything you face is the world. Me too. And Christ says, hey, you're a ship out in the harbor. out in the ocean. The storms and tribulation comes, you know, everything can attack you out there. Hey, I got a harbor for you. Come into the harbor. Anytime you want rest, if you're my child and you've repented, the gate of the harbor opens and you enter in and you have safety and peace. The only time we don't have safety and peace and joy is we decide not to enter that harbor. Makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. And so we run back to that harbor and we find peace and rest in Christ and his body and his word and his spirit. And then we go forth into the world like sheep among wolves, and it's tumultuous, and there's waves, and there's trials, and there's police, and there's haters, and there's crazy people. I get it. And then what do? We don't say, oh, I'm so weak, I'll stay out here. We go back to the harbor, which is Christ. And he keeps filling us up with the living water and the peace and the joy. How about we each do one more verse, brother, in the New Testament on joy? Well, you're looking for one. I'll go first. John 17:33. And now come I thee to these things, and I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So the words of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit in us, his joy. Let me talk about that. So you don't have to manufacture some fake joy, brother. You don't have to say, oh, I've got to be joyful. I got to find this somewhere and bring this up and make it up. No, that's going to be temporal, manly, of man and flesh. Christ says, you get my joy. We need to ponder that. It's not joy that we make up. It's eternal, and he gives us his joy. Isn't that awesome?
That is. Something you can never truly create.
Amen. Amen. And from our talk yesterday, he's telling you right there, take ownership, brother. He wants you to have it. He wants to give it to us. He's a good father. And what does a good father give to his children?
What they need.
Yeah. Good things. Amen. Amen. You got your verse, brother?
Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Wow. That says a lot. You have joy, you abound in hope, but guess what? It ain't of you, it ain't of me. What's it through? The Holy Spirit. He's our life force.
Christ has done.
I'm sorry?
It's the word of truth. It's those seeds of eternal truth that are in us.
Amen. And that's what we're growing. So it's really important that all of us, brothers and sisters, our source is Christ. We're plugged into the wall outlet that has Christ on it, not the wall outlet that says Brother Tupos on it, because that one's going to run out. That one's weak. That one's faulty. We want to be plugged into the outlet that says Christ, eternal power. And that's who we're plugged into. And we do that via the Spirit, via the Word, via the body. Every day being edified, Hebrews 3:13, exhort and edify each other daily, lest you be caught up in the deceitfulness of sin. And we just did a study from Brother Zelos. And by the way, Brother Akuo's message today, the audio was really good. If you haven't listened to it yet, it was really good about kind of talking about these same things, how we walk in the things of God. But Brother Zelos did a teaching on the armor of God, that shield that we hold up, the shield of faith, right?
Yes.
How are we doing that? What's our shield? We don't have a physical shield. We have a spiritual shield. What is it? Every day, we're about the Word. We're about looking to Christ. We're walking in the Spirit. We're connected to the brethren. That's our shield. And if we put that shield down and we don't take it with us wherever we go, we stop thinking about it, what's going to happen? What happens when a soldier is in battle and he puts his shield down? What do you think is going to happen to him?
The enemy's going to throw everything they have at him.
Yep. He's going to get pierced by the enemy. Fiery darts. Going to come at him and get him. But when you got your shield on, which is made up of Christ, the Word, the Spirit, and the brethren there to help you, it's not your strength. It's the strength of all those things I just mentioned. And then Christ is strong in us, and we get that peace and that joy. So, we covered a lot of good stuff. Any last thoughts on this one? Is on joy, brother. Any last thoughts?
have not because you ask not.
Amen. Amen. And maybe, I know I'm guilty of this, especially in my early walk. Maybe I was holding on to myself more and my stuff more than I'm holding on to Christ and the things he wants to give me. And that was a big blocker. You know, I'm kind of a practical man. So God has this flow of everything good to us. It's like a garden hose. You turn a garden hose on and you turn it on full blast. If it's unobstructed, what happens, brother? What comes out the other end?
Lots of water.
Yeah. All kinds of water. What happens if you stand on the garden hose?
You get a trickle at best.
And that's what we do with God. God says, I got this living water. I got this source. I got this joy. I got this peace. I got this power. Let it flow, child. And what do we do by looking back at our life or looking at sin, doing it our own way? We stand on the garden hose. We stand on the source. We need to get off the source and we need to just let it flow and then walk in it, live in it, trust in it. And that takes time, that takes experience, doesn't happen in the first 6 months or year where you're expert at it. It takes many years to be seasoned. Hey, we just learned about, we're talking about perfection. What does that mean, brother? He calls us to be perfect, but it doesn't mean we'll never have a fault or a sin. It means we're what?
Complete.
Mature. Yep. So you're learning, I'm still learning how to be complete and mature, and all these things as we learn them, then the peace and the joy, we flow in it much better. We walk in it. Ready? We don't fight it. We're not against it. We're our own worst enemies, aren't we, brother?
I know I am.
Yep, me too. Whenever I have a major issue in my faith life, it's never God's fault. It's never my brethren's fault. It's never my wife's fault. It's my fault. Because I'm supposed to be ready. I'm supposed to be a steward of all the good things that God offers me. Christ, eternal life, the Holy Spirit, His Word, His brethren, all His promises. I'm supposed to be a good steward of it. Let me ask you a question, brother. Do you take your money and just kind of throw it all on the ground and don't look after it and it's there where Satan can come get it? All the enemies can come get it. People come get it. And you go, hey, what happened to what God gave me? Oh, it's all gone. You don't do that with your money, do you, brother?
No.
No. You take care of it. So recently you were able to help a saint make it to freedom. All of us brothers helped. That's an awesome thing because you looked after your resources. You used wisdom. You were a good steward. The Bible teaches us to be a good steward. Well, shouldn't we be the good steward of the spiritual things he's promised as well? Not leave them laying around. Not pick them up. Hey, he gave me this awesome tool. Hey, that's an awesome tool God gave you, brother. Do you use it? Nah, I don't even pick it up. I don't even use it. I haven't asked to use it. I don't use it. That's foolish, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
You're not fully utilizing the investment he made in you.
Yeah. Amen. He knows what we need, brother. He knows what we need. So good stuff. We're going to share this in the, if you're okay with it too, we're going to share it in the Ecclesia gathering room for everybody to be edified by this. Two brothers just sharpening their swords together. And it's good stuff. Let's walk in this, brother. Amen. Any last thoughts?
Amen. That's a lot. I'll probably listen to this again myself.
Yeah, that'll be helpful. All right, brother. Love you in the Lord. Thanks for your time.
Love you, Lord.